The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. This is on page 114 of the New Testament. Luke chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. Allow me to read the words of God. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Amen. For the U.S. presidential election in 1964, Lyndon B. Johnson was the Democratic Party candidate, and Barry M. Goldwater was the Republican Party candidate. At the time, Johnson played a 60-second election campaign. A 3 or 4 year old girl pulls off petals of a daisy one by one and counts it as she does. 1, 2, 3, 4. And when the number reaches 9, there is a sudden sound of another countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7. During the countdown, the camera closes into her eyes. And when the countdown reaches 3, 2, 1, 0, there is an image of the mushroom cloud from nuclear weapons in her eyes. The danger of a nuclear war was depicted through the eyes of the girl. Johnson says in the campaign, "These are the stakes to make a world in which all of God's children can live, or to go into the dark. We must either love each other or we must die." Johnson did not utter a word of defamation about Goldwater. At the time, Goldwater had a hard stance against the Soviet Union and asserted that there may even be a nuclear war. The campaign was aired only once, but it was enough to put the public into horror and fear. At that election, the number of electoral votes that Democrat Johnson had was 486, while the votes for the Republican Goldwater was only 50. It was the largest vote difference in the history of the U.S. election. There is a concept referred to as the fear-based marketing. It is the marketing strategy used to cause anxiety and fear to make consumers purchase goods. The campaign of the Daisy Girl is regarded as the best among fear-based marketing examples. Nowadays, fear-based marketing is the norm in commercials. There was a time when a certain brand of padded outerwear was popular among Korean middle and high school students. That clothing was considered to be another school uniform. Moreover, the jacket also had different levels of quality, so students were divided into classes according to the price of the jacket. The marketing strategy made the student feel as if he or she will be looked down upon if the student did not have the jacket. At the beginning of last year, around the time when the Winter Olympics began at Pyeongchang, a long padded jacket became popular. The official name is Goose Long Down Jumper, but it was also nicknamed as Pyeongchang Long Padding. Because it was higher quality compared to its price, people waited in long lines a day before the department stores opened to receive queue tickets, and some bought it for a higher price in the used market. People were driven by the fear that you were not fashionable and trendy if you didn't wear the long padded jacket. Celebrating on that trend, other companies also produced many long padded jackets, but in just a year, that jacket was no longer popular because the weather wasn't too cold and it doesn't look good on anybody. Also, when one has sufficient budget, one can wear designer clothing and bags. Even if one cannot afford it, one can work hard and award oneself with nice clothing or bag for working hard. But it is improper to wear such clothes or bags because other people do, or even buying a fake one if you cannot afford the authentic one because you think you'll be looked down upon if you don't have one. It is more a question of values than economic judgment based on how much you can afford. And so it is improper to wear such clothes or bags just because other people say that you have to wear one. We are beautiful when we do what befits us, regardless of what we own or what we do. We are even more beautiful when we look out for the weak. Competition and comparison against others make us anxious and fearful. Moreover, South Korea is known for its great fervor for education. So students learn foreign languages, art, music, and sports on top of regular subjects. The reason for doing so is to raise your child well ahead of other children. But deep inside, there is fear. The fear that your child will fall behind other children. To relieve their fear, parents push their children, even if their children tell them it's too much and they don't like it. Children want their parents to have proper values grounded in their value system, but parents are actually easily persuaded. So the joke that South Korean education policy comes from the mouth of the mother of your child's friend is not that funny. When education is too demanding, it becomes brooding instead. too much education leaves behind negative side effects and regrets. Today's scripture guides us about what we really have to fear. Jesus explained about 3 points of how Pharisees and teachers of the law had committed wrong acts of faith. Many people had gathered by then. What Jesus told the disciples is testified in verse 1. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." At a place where many people had gathered, Jesus first told disciples to be on their guard of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy originally referred to the mask that many actors wear. Nowadays, actors wear thick makeup for a play, but in ancient times, they wore masks. Regardless of who the actor is in real life, if the actor wore a pretty mask, she became a beauty, and if she wore a mask of the beast, she became a beast. So if they perform together, the play becomes Beauty and the Beast, even though in reality, it could be Witch and the Carpenter. Jesus is saying that the Pharisees are like the people wearing masks. But Jesus compared the hypocrisy of the Pharisees to the yeast. There are two main features of yeast. One is that it inflates. Once you mix flour, yeast, and water, the amount of the mix grows over time. Similarly, the Pharisees acted as if they were at level 90 to 100 in terms of their holiness when they were only at 30 to 40. In chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew, how Pharisees conducted their prayer, relief of the poor, and hypocrisy while they prayed and fasted are described. The Pharisees actually took care of the poor, and sometimes did even more than the public. But why they helped the poor, especially the poor and the needy, who did not have any support, was not to serve them. Instead, after helping them just a little bit, they advertised that they were the people dedicated to helping others. It was the same for praying and fasting. Although they had to seek God's presence, praying in a room with doors closed, they cared more about how others see them. So they prayed in synagogues or in markets where many people gathered. Also, they had to fast naturally in their everyday life so that others did not know they were fasting, but instead, they put ashes on their forehead with a sorrowful face to indicate that they were fasting. Jesus said that they were already rewarded for such acts. The second feature of yeast is that it spreads. To make bread, you do not put 400 to 500 grams of yeast for 1 kilogram of flour. The amount of yeast needed for bread is generally about 2 to 4% of the amount of the flour. So for 1 kilogram of flour, you need 20 to 40 grams of yeast. Compared to the amount of flour, it is a small amount of yeast. Later, yeast is taken up by the flour. Difficult to tell whether it was even included. But with time, yeast inflates and spreads throughout the flour mix. Hypocrisy is also infectious. When one or two people are hypocritical, others also follow them because it seems refined and holy. If a church community is infected with hypocrisy, then it becomes a hypocritical community. Jesus explains why we need to be on guard for hypocrisy of the Pharisees in verses 2 and 3. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roof. Jesus says that even if the Pharisees pretend as if their fake appearance is real, while hiding their real selves, reality will be eventually revealed. The more you conceal yourself, and the more you pretend to be strong, there is enormous amount of anxiety and fear inside. The reason why people are unwilling to offer themselves completely to Jesus is not because of their strength or ability, but it is because they have a lot of fear. They do not want to show their weakness. Pharisees were probably hypocritical because of their fear as well. They probably knew how worthless they are, no matter how hard they tried to abide by the law. They were afraid that others will know how unworthy they were. Long time ago, during a conversation with a couple of church members, I asked, what would happen if other people knew all things you keep to yourself? One elder, who was a college professor that tried hard to live a holy life, trembled. She didn't want others to know. But are only the Pharisees and the elder only ones who want to hide their insides? Don't we also want to? We know well how unworthy, imperfect, and rubbish we are. Isn't it comforting to know that others didn't know? It is by grace that God is hugging us in His embrace. So Jesus gave another advice after telling the disciples to be on guard of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Verses 4 and 5. I tell you, my friends, to not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Jesus says that who disciples should fear is not a person, but God. Jesus said so because the disciples had been fearful. It is easy to understand the fear of disciples. They had been following Jesus for almost 3 years, listened to the gospel about the kingdom of God, and also witnessed many miracles of Jesus. But they still had not totally accepted Jesus as the Messiah they had been waiting for, the Creator God, and the one who will save them. They had sincerely believed that Jesus is the Messiah and Savior. They would have not have run away while Jesus was questioned and was hung on the cross. In chapter 11, Jesus strongly criticized the wrong acts of faith shown by the Pharisees and teachers of the law. So their anger was at its peak. In the eyes of disciples, Jesus was too weak to fight against the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They represented a powerful clique with enormous support from people, but Jesus was all by himself. So they began to harbor fear of death. But the word afraid not only has meaning of fear, but also awe. Jesus says so not to say that disciples should fear God because God has the power to make life or death decisions and controls life after that. Jesus actually meant that God should be revered and respected. Jesus explains why we need to revere God with two examples. This is the first example. Let's look at verse 6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. In the Gospel of Matthew, where the same content is described, it says, are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. This is in chapter 10, verse 29. In the Bible, there is a number of currency mentioned in Jewish terms, Roman terms, and Greek terms. Among the Roman ones, there are 3 names: denarius, asarion, and quadrantes. A denarius is a silver coin equivalent to drachma, the daily wage of a laborer. The coin, asarion, was worth 1/16 of a denarius. And the small coin, quadrantes, was worth 1/4 of a asarion. According to the conversion to today's currency, 1 asarion is worth about 6,251 if a daily wage is 100,000 won. In our currency, it's roughly 5,000 won. So Jesus is telling us the following. At the time, 2 sparrows were sold for an asarion. Sparrows were one of the common types of the meat sold. So 2 sparrows were sold for 5,000 won. But with a 10,000 won, you will receive 5 sparrows instead of 4. there's one extra sparrow. Jesus says that five sparrows are being sold for 10,000 won, and God does not forget any one of them. It sounds as if Jesus is keeping one sparrow in mind among the five. The one extra sparrow is what Jesus is focusing on. So Jesus told in verse 6 to me, if God knows which sparrow is the one added to the group of five, how could he not know who you are? Didn't God treat you well? Jesus also explained another reason why we need to fear God. Verse 7. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Korean people usually have about 50,000 hairs, and Westerners, who usually have thinner hair than we do, have about 100,000. And the lifetime of hair is about 2 to 4 years for men and 6 to 7 years for women. And about 50 to 100 hairs fall and grow every day. We do not know how many hairs we have, how much lifetime each hair has left, and how much hair falls and grows every day. But God says he does know. What Jesus means is God knows how much hair you have and how much it falls and grows. So wouldn't he be fond of you? Jesus told the disciples to not be afraid and told them the following in verses 8 and 9. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. This teaching was told not to give reasoning for why we need to propagate, but to tell a message to the disciples who were in fear. So this teaching is telling us to be responsible for the life given to us as believers of God, regardless of who we meet or the circumstances we face. Whether we believe God will be shown through our lives, not merely by our words. Ralph W. Emerson, the 19th century American writer and poet, said a famous saying, "What you do speaks so loudly that I cannot hear what you say." This teaching applies to all Christians. In our workplaces, we Christians need to show with our beliefs that we accept God in our lives. People who do not believe at workplaces are looking to see if we really believe in God or are nominal Christians. They do not listen to what we say, but how we live our lives. First, we need to responsibly do the work given to us at our workplaces. And we also need to show that the life and principle we follow is different from unbelievers. Otherwise, they will say, "What a big mouth." It is the same for families. It will be amazing if children listen to their parents well. Then all parents will have an easy task of parenting, and all children will grow up well. But children grow following their parents' acts behind their words. They're looking to see if their parents' attitude toward life testifies for God and respects God or not. So children learn the life principle of the world from their parents. Wherever we are and which status we have, we are not people seeking miracles of God, but are actually signs of God. Our lives will resonate among others in incomparable ways and serve as signs for them. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, reflecting on the suffering of our Lord and His resurrection. Fear of death is the greatest fear of humans, but Jesus' coming on earth was to put death to an end. So even as we live a finite life on earth, we can live an eternal life. Jesus told us to not be afraid. How can we do so? Can we just firmly decide to not be afraid? Or can we read books or lectures on how to get rid of fear? Jesus already gave us the solution in verse 12. And verse 5. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. The best solution for fear is to fear God. Fearing God is serving God as God. Even if we do not have much, do not have what others own, have less education, or cannot offer much education to our children, if we serve God as God and revere God as the center of our lives, God will take care of our lives. Even after death, He will hold our hands so that we can live in hope. If we fear God as God and revere Him, there will be nothing on earth that makes us fearful. But if we do not fear God as God, everything is to be feared because we are created to be built in God. Do not fear other people. Fear Him. Fear Him. Let's pray. Father God, there are so many things we feared in our lives as we reflect upon how we lived. We feared that we did not own what others have, others experience, and even the speed at which they are living. To hide that fear, we pretended to be people that we are not under false pretenses and showed off ourselves in vanity. But God, we confess that even as we feared about countless things of the world, we did not fear the one who we should have looked upon. We ask that you free us from things we should not be fearful of, and serve God as God, the center of our lives. And thus, may we be built together in the Lord, regardless of our life circumstances. And may we not forget that we are regarded to be more precious than the numerous sparrows. May this Lent season be a period of revering our God. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.